There's someone that I want to talk today about. He faced dilemmas just like we are facing with our nations. And one of the questions I want to ask you is, what is a calling? What is a calling? Or how would you define your calling? Think about that as we get into Jeremiah's calling. Align yourself in his with his life. Look at the things that the choices that he made, how he talked to God, what God wanted from him, how God called him, and see where you stand. See where you are. See if this same God, the God of Jeremiah, is also your God who created and made you and positioned you before you even, before you know it? No. Before your mother knew it, your father knew it, before the foundations of the world. This is the God that Jeremiah was talking to. And this is the God that we talk to also. And sometimes what we do, we discount what he says, we discount his calling, because we find every excuse in the book that we can't, instead of saying, this is the one that created me, the one that gave me a voice, the one that can do whatever he will. But we put that aside and we still see ourselves. Webster Dictionary put it this way, their meaning of a calling. A calling is a strong inner impulse toward a particular course of action. Towards a particular course of action. You have a strong impulse to be the caretaker, the one that helps, the one that nourishes, the one that does these things. That's your calling. Especially when accompanied by a conviction of divine influence. When God is in the matter, then, and you feel this compulsion to do a particular thing, that is your calling. All of us, have we all been called? Or do you know your calling? Let us pray. Almighty God, we're thankful for your calling on our lives, Father, that we would participate with you in what you're doing, you're continually doing from the moment of creation, Father, for us, creation for us, Father, that you are continuing to work with all of us down through the centuries, Father, because the object, Father, of your love and your relentless pursuit of us is not fulfilled yet, and therefore we have a part in bringing that to fruition by being participating with you. And so we thank you for your love, your tremendous love that shows us, Father, what we can do, with you, because of our own we can't do anything. But you have called us, you have invited us, and you have created us, Father, with in mind a calling that you want us especially to do. And so we thank you for who you are and who we are in you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There are many examples in the Bible of callings. We can think, reel off the top of your head, of people that have been called, directly spoken to by God. And one of those people we can think about is Moses. Let's look at Moses' calling. Moses was out with his father-in-law's flock, and all of a sudden he looked up and see a bush burning. He said, wait, that bush burning, but it ain't burning up. So I had to speak my most fluent Bajan. So he said, well, let me go and see what's going on. And God called his name. God say, Moses, Moses. Yes, Lord, here I am. But when God told him what he wanted, what did Moses do? Lord, I can't do that. I don't even know how to speak properly. I, you know, let somebody else do that. Okay. Let's look at Jonah. God said, I want you to get up and go down there and tell the people of Nineveh what I tell you. What did Jonah did? He ran in the other direction. Almost got people drowned in a boat because he got on there disobeying God. All right. But look at the disciples calling. Jesus went up to them and say, follow me. And the word said, immediately they dropped what they were doing. I mean, this is their workplace. They had their nets and their boats and their fish and everything that they had. He said, follow me. We too have been given a calling. We have been called. If you hear that calling, you'll remember that time when God was speaking to you and you could hear him in your heart and mind that he wanted you to do something. He called in you to participate with him in this great work that is being done even now down through these centuries. And you said, well, Lord, I didn't go to college. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Or maybe you said, yes, Lord. And then afterwards, what happened? We might forgot. We might have forgotten what God has called us for. So today I want to remind you of your calling. And I want to remind you that that calling is not fulfilled, is not accomplished, is not defined by your thoughts, your abilities, or anything about you. But when God gives you a calling, that calling is defined by him, is enabled by him, and its success is because of him. So when we look at Jeremiah, look at ourselves and our own lives, and I'm the chief one I'm talking to. He said, here I am. This is what he's, oh no, I got from Moses. So when God called Moses, what would you, if he was doing that in the way today, how would you react? What would you do? These flowers here, you know, they're artificial, but just think, if they were all burning, but nothing ain't burning up, how would you take that? That's some awesomeness. That's some fantastic stuff that Moses saw. But it didn't matter. He still saw himself. And he didn't see God. With all the stuff that is going on in the world today, do we see God? Or are we looking at how big the storms are? How mad dictators can be? How evil people can be to each other? Is that your focus? Or is the focus on the one who created all of us? Let's start reading Jeremiah in chapter 1, and let's start in verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now tell me, when you hear that and somebody tell you that, would you have any more questions about what they know about your life? Would you question them? I mean, how? Try to imagine, before you were formed in your mother's womb. There's no before. How you gonna say before? Before that will be nothing. But God said, in all his awesomeness, that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appoint you as a prophet to the nations. Boy, I started thinking when I was a baby that God had in mind, girl, I'm going to use you for something. And you're going to say no, you're going to go running because you're going to doubt my ability. You're going to just see all your failures. You're going to see all the things that cause you not to be able to do what I say instead of looking at me, knowing that I created you. I made your mouth or your tongue. I give you everything that you need to do what I say. But yet still, you doubt me. Yet still, you look at your failures. You look at the things that you have done all your life and say, no, I can do this, no, I can't do that. Jeremiah lived at a time where no one was listening to God. Duh. Or how about us? Or what kind of times we living in? This is the nations that God is sending Jeremiah to. And what is going on with all our nations, all our heads of nations? Do you know anybody that's the head of a nation that turns people to God and say, well, this is what we need to do. First, we're going to ask God his guidance. We're going to ask for him to lead us and direct us. Do you know any nations that do that? We need some Jeremiahs. Because we need Jeremiahs to tell people, tell nations, remind nations of the God that created them. He said, maybe he thought that if they weren't listening to God, because they weren't listening to God, what in the world ever make you think that he going to listen to me? They're going to listen to me. Well, what? I knew you. God said, I knew you before this, before all of this, before all of them. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. So how are you going to tell me you don't know how to do anything? Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 10 for us. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In advance. Now, we don't even have to go back to the Old Testament. This is in the New Testament. This is Jesus had come and already said it was finished and conquered all that he needed to do for us. And he said, all the things that we need to do was prepared in advance. Advance of what? Advance of you, that's for sure. Advance of me. It was prepared. God had already set everything in motion. He knew. He knew what we were like. But he pursues us relentlessly. That's some serious love. But when we think about our calling, when we think about our calling, do we remember that? We don't, because we only see ourselves. We only see what our hindrances, the things that hinder us from doing what we need to do. That's what we see. But it's God. He created your legs and your arms and your head and your mind. We don't see that. Jeremiah said to God, alas, in some translations it say, behold. You know, when you say behold, you're looking for something real astounding. Behold, look at me, I'm a youth. You mean to tell me God didn't know that? You mean to tell me, Jeremiah, God didn't know that you was a young person? No, he was overlooking that fact. And he said, I'll just pick you and send you anyway. Do you think, young people, that God is overlooking who you are? No. You are very, very important to him. Just as important as your mommy and your daddy and everybody else around you. And when he say to you, when he calls you, no matter what age you are, and as far as historians and theologians, they think that Jeremiah probably may be, when he said youth, young boy, he probably was maybe a teenager. I don't know if there are any other things that say differently than that, but he could be a teenager. I was called when I was really young. I was 10 years old when I realized that I want to follow Jesus. A lot of young people, a lot of us have been called when we were very young. That calling is not lost. It's the same calling. It's the calling of God. And sometimes we have to revisit the time when we were called and the enthusiasm we had and the joy we had. We could jump off of a roof. We were so excited because it was God that gave us that calling. But he said, alas, sovereign Lord. I said, I do not know how to speak. What do you mean you don't know how to speak? I made your tongue. But that's the excuses that we also make. We make excuses because we doubt the ability of God. When the three Israelite boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was thrown into the fire, They say, even if God let us get burned up, he's still able. That's the mindset that we all have. Even if I fail right now, there's a reason God allowed me to fail, because there is something else he is working out. It's always got to start, as Pastor C said when we started this whole series. You always, anything you do, anything you say, anything you think, you have to start with God is a good God. And it's only the goodness what he wants from all of us. And that is what he's pursuing, so that we all one day will be at one with each other and at one with him. So anytime you start thinking of something that, oh, look at these storms, these hurricanes, what is going on? Start with, God is a good God. And it gives you a different perspective. It does like that hurricane. Instead of going this way, it veers off and gives you a better, greater view of God. We all going to be completely always learning about God and what that, how we see God, and he's going to continue to teach us. I'm losing But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. That's what God declared to him. That's what God said. That's what God is saying to us also. He's telling us not to be afraid. Yeah, it's not being cocky. Look, I'm not afraid to get up there and speak because they're just people. I remember, it was funny. It was a comedian, and he was saying, if you're afraid of speaking to people, just imagine all the people in the audience are chicken legs. And some of the people in the audience, chicken legs, was Oprah and, you know, different people that like eat chicken and stuff like that. And Luther Vandross, remember, they gain weight and just up and down. And it was funny. So he saw each person as a chicken leg on the head. And so, look, I can talk to chicken legs. It doesn't matter. But the same as we are God's handiwork, God prepared for us. God didn't just put me here and then said, what am I going to do with Ann? Maybe I better consult with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and see, do we got a job for her? Do we got a position for her? Do we got something that she can do? The God we serve is all-knowing. His plans are not ours. Our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. He is the creator God. When he put the sun in the heavens, he didn't say, well, should the sun be the moon for be at night? Or should the moon be, and should I make this day? Or should I make this night? No. He's a God that know his plans. And the same knowing God knew you and knew what plans he has for you. So before. I. You see your name in there anywhere? Or any time you was there? Before. Are you there? I. Are you there? Who is that? I. Told Moses, I am. Are we any of those things? No. Do we have anything to do with that? Do we have anything to do with our calling? Before and I, God is Jeremiah's maker. He is our maker also. He can call us up to active duty. I remember we had something downstairs on being called to active duty. And everybody, you get scared. You get scared being called up to active duty because you don't know what to expect. You don't know where you're being sent, and so the fear comes on you. But that's because man is in control of that. But God calls us to active duty because he's in control and he knows everything. He knows our yesterdays. He's already there. He knows our tomorrows. He knows our everything about it. He knows what's present. But the thing is, we don't have that much trust in his word. Are we seeing God's love, his awesomeness, his greatness, his eternal plans? Eternal. They were eternal. Things that were planned before. He gave Jeremiah his commission, and he gave us also. the one that gives us our very being, the one that we live and move and have our very being in Him. God determines what we should be. Apostle Paul said in Galatians that God set him apart from his mother's womb. That's what Apostle Paul said. To be a Christian. God our Creator knows what used to make of every man and all that He created. He made the sun for the day, the moon for the night. He made our food to feed the body. Everything He made with specific reasons so that it works together. You know, we go and eat the junk that people made up, chemicals, and then wonder why our bodies are falling apart. But He made certain foods that complement everything in our body, every organ, every cell, it feeds the cells. That's the God we serve. A God that knew what He was doing. Just like He knew what He was doing when He called us. He knew what He was doing when He called Jeremiah. Because He knew that He needed someone to talk to the people because He loved them. He didn't hate them. He wanted them to know who He was. That's the good God we serve. The same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's no different than when he spoke to Jeremiah. He made the sun for the day, the moon for the night. He made our food to feed our bodies, water to quench our thirst, and yes, living water so that we don't thirst. God's knowledge is infallible and His purpose is unchangeable. What He designed you to do, He has also fit you to do. So He doesn't put a square peg in a wrong hole, or is it the other way around? So let's read Jeremiah 1. Let's read Jeremiah 7. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everything I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declare the Lord. And in 9, then the Lord reached out His hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow. And then, once you get all the junk out of the way, He said, to build and to plant. So then He comes in with the building and the planting. Because you see, all that is ours need to be torn down. Not just outside, but inside. We need to tear down all that is ours. Because it's fooling us. It's telling us to go somewhere else, to do something else, to listen to somebody else. Everything except to keep our eyes fixed on God. He knew Jeremiah was afraid. We can be afraid, yes. That way we don't get cocky. Like we are doing this on our own. Because we're not doing this on our own. We don't have what it takes to do anything on our own. Jeremiah was young, but he didn't have his own words. He had God's words. Young people, God's call to you is as valid as Jeremiah's. It is as valid as Jeremiah's. when he called Jeremiah, when he called you, is just as good, because he has a purpose for you. You may not know it. Jeremiah didn't know it, but he had a purpose for Jeremiah. He has a purpose for me and you. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. This is not us. This is God. This is His Spirit using us to do the job that He wants done. And that job is on us. On us for that day, for eternity, where we will be at one with God. He touched his mouth. I have my words in your mouth. That's what he said to him. I have my words in your mouth. So, I mean, if you got God's words in your mouth, what more can you ask for? What more do you want when it comes to speaking? Moses didn't see that either. He thought that his speech impediment was something that the great God that want him to do a job couldn't fix. But it is all part of getting to know God better and better and better. He said, see, today I point you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. We have planting to do. We have building to do. We have a work to do alongside Jesus, alongside Him. The world needs everyone that's been called. The world needs us. How do we see our calling? How do we take our calling? Is it casual, or does it have the intensity of an urgency that we need to have, that this is not flipping burgers. This is an important work. There's no job on this earth, not on this earth, well, anywhere else, that is as important as the calling that God has given to each and every one of us to be with Him, to participate with Him, to join Him in gathering together. And one day, that oneness that will last eternity. This is your calling. Just as with the prophets, the disciples, God has chosen people to participate with Him in His relentless pursuit of the object of His love. And that object is us. Meditate on your calling. And let God show you why He called you and what His purpose for you is. Thank you.